This is Spin Talk.
You're very welcome back to Spin Talk with Lauren. We're live from Seminar, third and final day today, and what a crowd. It's very, very exciting, and the word from the main stage is everything is going so well. If you don't make it to the main stage, we're here at the Spin Social Hub. You can pop along and say hello. We're very excited to be joined by our next guest. Gina London is an Emmy-winning former CNN correspondent and anchor who's now a communications consultant based here in Ireland. She also writes for the Sunday Independent. Gina, you're very welcome to Spin.
Thank you, Lauren. It's great to be here. Great to be at Seminar. Absolutely awesome experience. When you walk in the RDS, it is transformative. There are so many kids in uniforms soaking up all the different things that are to offer. It's absolutely, I've enjoyed it, and I'm excited to speak to everybody later on today.
We're your warm-up, because
That's
you haven't
it.
Taken
I'm
to the stage
on in about
yet.
15 minutes, yeah.
So what are you discussing today on the main
stage?
I'm
going to be talking about deliberately and strategically layering on communications to whatever it is you do. Having grown up in a small town in Indiana where that idea of being a network journalist was seemed very, very far away, but what it takes to deliberately achieve something, and then no matter where you are, whatever it is that you want to do, if you can communicate better and more effectively, it's going to give you that competitive edge. That is what I'm going to talk about, and I'm going to give these students, these kids, some steps to really do that.
Did you always know what you wanted to do?
I did. I wrote the first letter to the editor that was published in a newspaper when I was a kid at 13. I mean, I think because I grew up in such a small town, my curiosity about the world around me is what really drove me to say, what's the best vehicle for me to get out of here? And frankly, God love you in Indiana, yay, farms. But it was to become a journalist and to meet other people and to interview. That was a balloon, yeah. I believe,
yes.
Coming from the U.S. background. We do get a little nervous about those things.
And yeah, just a balloon,
it was
we
a balloon.
Can confirm.
And it was the idea of becoming a network journalist in print, actually, was first, and then
okay.
It became television.
So when did you get to CNN? Was that always the dream? Was that always what you wanted
well,
to do?
Well, network was always the dream at
okay.
the time. I mean, when I was a kid, CNN actually started. They started in the early 80s. That I was when I was first interested, it would have been newspapers or maybe NBC or ABC.
Okay.
But then as I moved to Washington, D.C., and I worked for a local television station there, but local news in Washington is national news. And then through a lot of determination, I was able to get a job writing with a bureau in Washington. And from there, they actually put me on air. And my first and only full-time reporting job was at the network level. So I'm very fortunate.
When you look back on those days, what was the highlight for you? Is there a day that stands out above all others?
Well, there's so many different emotions when you're covering news, because I was political, but I was also breaking news. And so there were political stories of scandal, like the Clinton scandal with Monica Lewinsky. There were devastating stories, like I covered 9/11 from the beginning to the end. But there were also very uplifting stories about the Olympics that I was able to cover. And I did get to interview presidents and business leaders and the Princess of Wales.
Wow.
And it was a really amazing time, because every day was different. And
yep.
every day
we can relate to that.
And every day, right. And every day you meet real people. Even the highest, most influential person at the end of it is a real person in some way. If you can get to that and have them tell you that story, that's so powerful.
What did you win the Emmy for?
For the coverage with my team for 9/11.
Wow. And when you look back on that, is it hard to look back on it as a work thing, because it was so personal to everyone,
especially everyone in the United States. My own father was killed, not as a result of terrorism, but in an accident. He was a pilot and he died in a crash. And the idea of someone being alive one moment and then being gone for no reason next moment is something that's really part of me. So interviewing victims' families or people who have been injured in some sort of an event is, I feel very empathetic to that. I've never been someone who just sticks a microphone in someone's face and expects them to speak. So it's humbling. It's like anything, you wish it wouldn't have happened, but the empathy that you bring is hopefully that human bond that makes people want to talk about what's on their heart. And that's really what I work as even now in corporate communications with my clients, is let's strip out of the corporate land and get into the heart of any matter.
Working on a talk show here in Ireland, I find, and a lot of my colleagues will agree, that Americans are much more willing to talk. And a former colleague of ours puts it down to the fact that in school, you do show and tell.
Yes.
So, you know, you ring somewhere in Ireland and you go, listen, we're doing this radio program about whatever, balloons, for example, and you want someone to come on. Irish people will always be a bit suspicious of you. Yeah. They're like, well, what's it about? And how many questions are you going to ask me? And how long will I be on for? You could ring anywhere in America and the person who answers the phone will be like, well, listen, the person who does that isn't here, but I'll do it. Americans are very, very willing to talk. So as an American coming here to Ireland, what's your experience been of us and what kind of communicators are we?
Okay, well, that's an interesting point. We could go have a whole discussion about this, but in a nutshell, one of my quick overgeneralized observations is that actually Irish people are very willing to talk, but it's not always on topic.
Yeah.
That it could be a lot of stories, I would say, to my clients, especially when they're trying to speak in a business setting to another, maybe it's an American counterpart in their company. Stories don't always have to begin with, and then the earth cooled, because that's an indicator that it's going to be too long and that we might be missing the point. But I think that actually we talk about it's a land here of poetry and of literature, and I think that also does lend itself time, like the Blarney and all of that, to a little bit of a land of meandering stories that maybe need to have a little more of a clear beginning, middle, and end.
We could all learn something from you, I think, Gina. And I understand people are very looking forward to hearing your talk. You're on stage at 2:00.
Yes, coming up.
So be deliberate. Know what you want. Go out and get
right.
it. That is
go
the message.
Make it a structure. Make it definite. Don't leave it to chance. Don't take it for granted, because communication skills aren't soft skills. They're critical ones.
Gina London, lovely to meet you on Spin Talk today. Thank you
Great
so much
to
for
meet
your time.
You too, Laura.